Hey everyone, Steve Cooper, conservativemonster.com, and we have today on the radio show Mary Beth Hicks. She is a journalist for the Washington Times and author of Don't Let the Kids Drink the Kool-Aid, which is a catchy title. And it's an honor to have her on the show today. How are you, Mary Beth?
I'm well, Steve. Thanks for having me. Really fun to talk to you.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so you know what? When I first saw your interview on Fox News, I was like, wow, she's what we need right now, because there is just nobody to really speak out about this socialist brainwashing of our youth. And, you know, I give you a lot of credit. You're a brave woman. And I'm sure that the left has really been, you know, sending you some hate mail, I would guess. Is that true?
Hey, I've gotten a few emails that I just delete them. I figure it's a sign that somebody's paying attention, so I don't get too worried about it. But yeah, you know, it's so quick for people to judge. But all I can say is that in this book, Don't Let the Kids Drink the Kool-Aid, I just presented a lot of research, a lot of evidence that, you know, the left is succeeding in molding the first generation of American socialists. And I think if we need proof of it, just, you know, pick up any newspaper across America and read about your local Occupy protest, and you see the kids who are out there. You know, they're demonstrably uneducated about government and civics. They don't really know much about what they're talking about, but they, you know, they're just passing it. They feel a lot of things, and yet they're putting us in peril in terms of losing our our republic.
And also, I saw that you mentioned in the book, there's what's this about, a pledge of allegiance to the earth? Is that like an Al Gore, another Al Gore creation?
Yeah, no, I don't think he wrote that, but I'm sure the folks who are proponents of that are big fans of Al Gore. It's one example. The eco-radicalism that's being taught to our children in lieu of science in our classrooms is one example of the kind of Kool-Aid that's being pumped into the veins of our children, if you will. So what I talk about in the book is that, you know, first of all, if you sort of imagine that America sits on a three-legged stool, faith, family, and freedom. And if they can cut the legs out from under that stool and convince kids that family is anything you want it to be, it doesn't mean a husband and wife and children, and families can form and reform, and, you know, so kids now accept any definition of a family, and they don't really know what freedom is. They think it's free of debt, being free of want, being, you know, getting free stuff or free housing. They don't understand the concept of personal liberty. And then the whole notion of religion in this country, you know, where we know that we were founded to be a religiously free country, but our kids are being taught that we were meant to be free of religion. And so once they kind of undermine all those basic tenets of our country, then they have room to fill their heads up with all this other nonsense. So that's where they bring in the eco-radicalism and earth worship and, you know, the gay agenda and the hypersexual culture and all these things that sort of have replaced our common traditional American values.
Right. They want, I guess their religion is global warming and climate change, and that's a way of getting into their heads. And if you disagree with them, like what did Al Gore compare? People that disagree with his global warming agenda, he compared them to Holocaust deniers. You know, that's how extreme these people are.
But, exactly.
And so let me see. Okay, so now what can parents do to protect their children, as far as your opinion here?
Yeah, well, the first thing we need to do, and really this book, I should point out, it's certainly a book that's meaningful to parents, people who are parenting right now, but it's not a parenting book by any stretch of the imagination. You have it, so you know. It's a political book. It just happens to narrow the topic of liberalism to its impact on our young people. But parents, grandparents, coaches, teachers, pastors, you know, anybody, any who's a concerned citizen, you know, if you've got a kid mowing your lawn for you once a week, you could talk to them about politics too. We need to be more engaged with young people, because right now they only get one note from the choir. You imagine that the places where they hear most about worldview are in schools and through media and pop culture. Well, those are areas that are so dominated by the left, and proudly so. The left is proud of their dominance in those areas, and so we know that kids aren't getting a balanced worldview. And so one of the first things we can do is make sure that we're presenting all sides to the issues to our children. So when they come home with, as mine did, in the eighth grade, having had to watch the movie The Human Footprint in school, in her science class, which is a movie, anti-capitalist, anti-consumerism movie. It makes America the bad guy of the world environmentally, makes America sound like we are out to simply exploit poor countries. You know, this film was just, was astonishing to me. Well, she came home and she told me she was watching this movie in science class. So I had to go online and learn all about it and figure out what this film was so that we could have dinner table conversations in which we said, well, you know, yes, on the one hand, you know, capitalism needs to be moral capitalism, but, you know, when it's moral capitalism, it's good for all people, you know. So, but those are the messages we have to work on so that we can balance this nonsense they're being fed.
Well, okay, we're experiencing a war against capitalism right now. I mean, very few people will admit this in the media. And even on, like, Fox News, they use keywords like class warfare, redistribution of wealth, all these code words for communism, but communism and socialism is very rarely used. Why do you think the media, even Fox News, is keeping away from these, you know, calling it what it is? Everyone's afraid to call it what it is.
Well, and you started out with a question to me. Am I getting a lot of, you know, pushback from people on the left? And the reason is this, I think, is because if you use those words, then all of a sudden you're a wacko. You know, you're just an extreme, you know, you're an extreme paranoid person who's, you know, worried about some boogeyman that doesn't exist. And in fact, what we know is that radical socialism is what is organizing and behind those Wall Street occupation people. And for the kids who are down there thinking that they're just, you know, being idealistic, they're being used. They're being used like nobody's business. And, you know, so it's attracting the right element for them, but we know exactly who's behind that stuff. And it is kind of interesting that, you know, if you want to use the word socialism, people kind of go, oh, well, you're one of those, you know, far-right, you know, paranoid people. But I think that's kind of, that's just, those days are gone. The reality is facing us right smack in the face, and we already know we have a soft socialism based on all our government programs, and we should be not surprised then that it brings in people who view this as an opportunity to actually go all the way there. So.
Well, yeah, you know, I've been in this, I've had websites on the internet for, you know, maybe 8 years, and, you know, I've seen all of the propaganda that they throw at us, and exactly what you said, they call it right-wing paranoia, but all of this, these are our tactics to delegitimize our message, and, you know, of course they know it's socialism and communism, but it has to be stealth, and that's a key, and they hate when people bring light out into that, you know?
Right. As soon as you put it in the daylight, you call it what it is, and you can see it happening right before your eyes, then they don't want to talk about it anymore. So, yeah, it's but I just think that you can't look at what's going on with our children's generation and not see the writing on the wall. These kids cannot be brought up with ideas that big government is good and can solve your problems, but big business is evil. If you ask any kid, you know, any seventh grader in the world today, or in America today, you know, are corporations good or bad? They'll all go, oh, corporations are bad. They don't even know why. They just know this sort of buzz phrase, corporations are bad. But then again, if you ask any kid in America, if you just, like, find a seventh grader, anybody, ask them what kind of government we have, and every kid in this country will tell you we live in a democracy. Well, you go, yeah, yes, but, you know, we have democratic values, but really we're a democratically elected constitutional republic, and they will look at you like a deer in the headlights. They have no clue. And the government's own statistics tell us that fewer and fewer kids are being taught about our Constitution, so we know that they're not learning it.
Well, also, I'm seeing an epidemic of the youth. I'm talking in the 20-year-old range. They're all turning into these 9/11 truthers, these Ron Paul, you know, and again, Ron Paul is no Republican as far as I'm concerned. You know, these kids are anarchists. They are radical, anti-government, and radical that they watch, they love Russia Today media. They're very anti-Israel. I mean, you know, they blame Israel for 9/11. And this is something, too, that the media is not pointing out, that the brainwashing of these kids with the 9/11 truthers and you know, all of these, the anarchists, they're all going to be a danger to this country. You know, what do you think about them?
Well, I think that it's just a more example of the fact that ignorance is bliss for this younger generation. They don't, you know, they're, and you have to, we say to ourselves, well, how did it get to be that? Well, when you look, and this is what I talk about at length in the book, is when you look at the education system in this country and the way in which the left has so hijacked not just the curriculum, but the teacher education process. So you look at our schools of education, and that's where some of the most radical members of the academy are working in schools of education across the country. And just for example, Bill Ayers is a guru of teacher education in this nation. In between the time that he was, you know, doing the Weather Underground and, you know, long before he was hosting the coffee class for Barack Obama to launch the political career in Illinois, Bill Ayers was busy becoming one of the most respected, revered people in teacher education in this country. He's written a bunch of books that are all, you know, often required by schools of education. And his belief about education is that the purpose of education is the doing of social justice. He does not believe that education's purpose is to transfer knowledge or wisdom or skills to younger people. He believes it's to correct the wrongs of the past, to correct the white advantage in America, and to, you know, radicalize, basically, the young people. And so, you know, we should not be surprised that when this sort of person, and he is, and I wish I could say that, oh, yeah, that's just Bill Ayers, the rest of them are great. Bill Ayers and people like him are a dime a dozen in teacher education.
Yeah.
So what we need to know is that our teachers, people who are not leftists, who don't feel this way but have a heart for teaching and want to be part of the teaching community, they go to become teachers, and this is what they're, you know, they're unwittingly kind of recruited into the army of the left. And then the curriculum that they're forced to teach is equally radicalizing in many ways. And so, you know, I think that we need to know how it works so that we can know how to respond. And, you know, this is really the institutionalizing of the left and through generations, and that's how it's working.
Well, now, okay, now what do you, and I wrote this down as one of my, it's amazing you're bringing up something I wanted to ask you. Okay, now are teachers purposely dumbing down today's youth to further an agenda of government dependence? There was recently, there was a town hall meeting in Texas, and a teacher stood up and called a Tea Party leader a Nazi. So now, what do you these teachers that are really just radicals, I think they should be removed from their jobs. They're a danger. What do you think?
Well, good luck with that, because the teachers are the most successful union in America.
Yeah.
There's 3 million of them, and they are represented by one of the most powerful, powerful unions in America. It is so amusing to me that these Wall Street occupiers are down there decrying the large salaries of people who actually work in the private sector and take risks and, you know, educate themselves and put themselves in those positions. They don't have a problem whatsoever with union executives who make huge 6- and 7-figure salaries at the highest levels. And, you know, they don't seem to get that at all. It doesn't even connect. But the fact is, you know, many conservatives have been decrying for many years the government schools and calling public schools the government schools. I would argue that's actually not what they are. They're union schools. And they're schools operated by unions. And, you know, and it's a monopoly, mostly, because, you know, we have compulsory education in this country. And the option to educate your children through public schools is forced on you by virtue, in many ways, of your tax base. So if you're paying for the public schools through your property taxes, then you're kind of, your hands are tied. That's the money you could have used for tuition, for private school, right? So you often are sort of forced into it by virtue of the economics of it.
Right.
The perfect system for the left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. State-sponsored indoctrination and brainwashing. But, okay, now I wanted to ask you, and I probably know the answer to this already, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Has CNN or MSNBC, have they asked you to come on and promote your book or do an interview?
You're funny, Steve. not so much. Go figure. I, you know, you put a book out with the fine folks at Regnery Publishing, and you will not land on some of the mainstream media sites. And I'm okay with that because, you know, I'm just a mom with 4 kids, and, you know, I'm up here in Michigan doing my thing and writing my stuff, and I just assume not become a celebrity that way. But I have to say that, you know, so many conservative media opportunities, and people are really mobilizing, and, you know, we can see the writing on the wall here, and too many people are they're saying, that's enough, I'm not going to allow this. And I'm just kind of bringing a voice in from that perspective of parenting and family. You know, I think we need to remember that the values of this country have to be perpetuated in order for the country to be perpetuated. I started with this premise for the book, that we couldn't imagine having the kind of nation that our founders left for us if we don't have some of the same kinds of people here like they were, you know. And so we have to make sure that we are raising a virtuous society. Ben Franklin even said, and he was not the most example, you know, the best example of virtue, but Ben Franklin said, this government that we created is good for a virtuous people and no other.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to work harder at the character and virtue of our children, because that's really what's going to turn it around. You know, people who have strong moral character, have a strong moral compass, they are not looking for the government to take care of them, and they don't want the handout the way kids do, who really just don't have a concept of right and wrong and morality. And so you see a lot of it. And isn't it funny that now down at the Occupy headquarters all over the country, they're having problems with theft?
Yeah, I saw that. I know.
Assault. There have been sexual assaults now at these places. You know, they're having problems with people, you know, sharing adequately all the resources that they're getting for free and all the sense. Like, well, that, you know, these are people who don't want to recognize human nature and don't want to have authority in place to help monitor people's behavior. And they just, you know, they live in a la-la land like it's all going to be, you know, rainbows and sunshine and, you know, a unicorn in every garage, I guess. I don't know. So.
Well, you know what it is, too? They're not too bright. Some of them are not too bright, but basically they're being funded by the same people that they are protesting. The very wealthy want this Marxist agenda because their goal is to shatter the middle class. And it came out too that a bunch of these kids are trust fund rich kids with from Columbia and NYU, and they feel that they're going to be a part of the elite, and that's why they want to they want Marxism.
Sure. I was surprised by that. I mean, you know, what's hilarious to me is these people don't seem to get that, you know, Barack Obama and all the folks that, you know, down in Washington running this administration, when their time is up, whether they get four more years or not, they're all going to go off and, you know, then personally manage, instead of through a blind trust, their enormous Wall Street, you know, portfolios. And if they think that somehow that anybody is on their side and would literally sacrifice one thin dime for these kids down there, I mean, they're crazy.
No.
In fact, what's fascinating is when you look at trends in giving to charity, it's not liberals that give to charity. Liberals love to just give their money to the government and let the government handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Conservatives that give to charity, even in times of economic downturn. And so, you know, we know that people who believe that the government doesn't have a role to take care of each other do it on their own, out of a moral responsibility for helping others in need. And so, you know, just a lot of, but, you know, these kids don't want to be confused by the facts. And so, you know, they never let the facts get in the way. They just go with what they feel, and their feelings dictate their truth. So.
Now, I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you got the email. I sent you an email about, there was a KGB defector. His name is Yuri Bezmenov. He defected, I believe, in the early 80s. And he did an interview in 1985 talking about the infiltration and subversion of the United States. And he said that that the plan is already, you know, in place, and in the universities, the media, it was part of his job when he came, you know, when he was a member of the KGB to subvert and infiltrate and spread socialism as much as he could. And you know, he said it takes 20 years to brainwash a generation, and he said it would take another generation to re-correct everything. Have you ever heard of Mr. Bezmenov?
I have. It's funny, you sent me that email, Stephen. I had just, like, the day before I had watched that video, somebody else had sent it to me.
Interesting.
You know, it's fascinating. For one thing, you realize, okay, this was back in the 80s, which is now 20 years ago, and yet, you know, it's still so current, and, you know, so obvious to those who are looking. You know, I the thing is this, I'm not a conspiracy theorist per say, and then I don't know if there's some, you know, big leftist committee that gets together and figures out how they're going to get it all done. I know this, though, that just as in some families, for example, everybody goes in the military. You know, in some families, it's like, it's what they do. Like, you know, the dad is in the Navy, the son goes in the Navy, you know. Everybody's part of the military. That's kind of part of their family ethos, their family heritage. Some families, you know, they all go into law. My family is lousy with lawyers. My father was a lawyer and a judge. All my brothers went to law school. My sisters and I all married lawyers. I mean, go figure. So it's just in some families that there's kind of a thing they do. In some families, everybody goes into education. In some families, there's connections in the media, so the younger people start going into the media. So what's fascinating is we have allowed the left to basically dictate messages in some of the most important and crucial places where our children learn their worldview and learn about ideas and form their own opinions. And those are in the media and in education.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like what we need to do is raise our children, we conservatives, to go into those fields. I'm really excited that my oldest daughter is already a writer for Town Hall.
Oh, wow.
One is a comm major at a school, and she's, you know, looking for a journalism degree eventually, and, you know, maybe we'll go into that. So I have to say that I'm excited. They're doing what they want to do, but I'm glad it was this, you know, because they want to be in there and contributing to the voice and having a message to say. And so, you know, I think we have to really kind of tell our kids this is a place where, you know, you can have a great career and do some good stuff by, you know, being involved in shaping the message, and not just a political message, but I'm talking about, you know, going into environmental studies if that's what you're interested in, and making sure you are, you know, part of the group that produces curriculum to teach real science, or go into screenwriting if you want to, but write good movies with solid family messages that, you know, teach patriotism in the storyline. You know, those are things that we can do to fight back.
Wow, that's great. Your daughter got a job already. You know, I usually get banned. I don't get jobs. I get banned. I got it was an Ann Coulter one time. I wanted to advertise on her website, and she blocked me. She said no.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's big business. I don't know what to tell you.
But anyway, listen, so we're speaking with Mary Beth Hicks. I'll tell you, you're a great – you're actually – the left definitely fears you, because not only are you honest and speaking the truth, and you're saying, giving a message that they don't want to be heard, but it's also you're articulate, you're attractive, and you're a mom of four children, so it's like, really, you know, they want to be, you know, that whole, like, we're for women's rights and this and that, and so you are definitely a threat to them, you know. But I want to thank you for coming on the Conservative Monster Radio Show, and the book is Don't Let the Kids Drink the Kool-Aid. Already a couple of Monster fans told me that they bought it off of Amazon, and your website, MaryBethHicks.com, is that it?
It is indeed. That's it. Just my name.
Excellent. Okay, so thanks for coming on, and I'll keep in touch with you, okay? We'll definitely...
Steve, thanks so much, and thanks for your conservative listeners. Get out there and buy that book, and we all have to mobilize.
That's it.
Help.
Okay, take care. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.